welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another show where once again I'm joined by Max Carlisle and Teddy McAllister for a chat about a couple of different Everton topics. Tonight we're going to be looking into the future as we discuss which former club icons should have a statue outside our new arena on the Bramley Moor dock. Of course, the Echo ran an article asking for suggestions on that front, so we're going to throw our own hat in the ring and come forward with a few ideas of our own. After that, we're going to do a target analysis on one of the frequently linked transfer targets of recent weeks, Aston Villa star Jack Grealish. We're going to be debating what pros and cons he could bring to the table should we manage to bring him in. And of course, we're going to round everything off with the If You Know Your History quiz, which Max and Terry are going to go head-to-head in at the end of the show. That's what's in store for your listeners on the podcast tonight. Our two main segments will be separate on YouTube, so I'll introduce them respectively as we go through the podcast. But first of all, Max and Terry, how are you doing, lads? Another week in isolation, been seeing off. How have you been keeping busy again since I last seen you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, James, mate. How are you?
I'm pretty solid. It's been a pretty decent week. I think I'm starting to get used to isolation, which is probably not a good thing, to be honest with you, but... The more the weeks move quickly, the better, I suppose. So what have you been doing to keep busy?
Not all that much, to be honest, but I'm glad the club has developed the habit of streaming these live games.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I enjoyed the 3-0 victory against Liverpool in 2006.
I think on this show I've said that that's actually one of my favourite all-time Everton games. That's all. I was absolutely thrilled when they did that on Saturday night, and I had a ball watching that.
Yeah, it's up there. How are you getting on, Teddy? All right, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, fellas. Nice to speak to you. Yeah, same old, really. Just cracking on, you know what I mean? We're all still, you know, in this for a while longer, I think, and I'm just, doing bits around the house. I've not watched as much, as much stuff as I had done in the last episodes. Obviously, we were talking off camera then, there's the extra episodes of Tiger King, which isn't really an extra episode. It's more little recap show, like a post-game episode where someone just interviews some of the people who were on it via Skype and whatnot. And everything on telly at the minute, if it's made new, is done via Skype. And I know they can't help it, but it's just the absolute worst television going, isn't it? Like when you just see five or six Skype heads. We know from just recording a show, sometimes it's hard to like know when to talk, when to stop and all that, because when you're not face-to-face, you lose that sort of that
synchronicity.
Yeah, and it's just, I can't watch anything like that. Like me and my missus watched an episode of Graham Norton when it was like that, and it's just, it's just not worth watching a lot of it, but, you know, it's, they're doing the best. What can they do?
Yeah, I think television's, I mean, it's been dying for a while now anyway, but I think this might be one of the final nails in the coffin to it, to be honest. And I think people are going to cotton on to the likes of, you know, what we're doing, podcasts and all these sort of other alternative streaming forms almost, I actually beg to differ.
I think this is probably giving it a little bit of a new lease of life myself. I just think the standard of the content, we're seeing less of these rubbish talk shows that you're on about and more the FA Cup rewinds on BBC, so I'm a lot happier. I've actually been watching terrestrial TV a lot more than I normally do in this lockdown.
Fair point.
Makes you think, though, doesn't it? Like, you know, the BBC and what have you, have got this massive, massive archive of old games recorded and never do anything with them, and now they're actually having to use it. People, like, they must be getting decent figures, you know, like for some of these old, games they're putting on, and not just, you know, Everton's accounts doing it online, but the BBC are doing it for, like, old school games, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I've been watching them. It's been brilliant. Like, the match of their day, they put the Wimbledon game on Saturday night as well, which was brilliant. Like, that was after the Derby win, so I had a real little marathon of Everton classics.
That's the Barry Owen game, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I've got that ball there.
Nice.
The match ball?
Yeah.
Oh, that is brilliant. Is that the one Graham Stewart was running with as the old floods of the pitch?
Yeah, hang on.
I think he jumped out of a window to get that then with that noise.
Oh, he's gone over. Can I have my ball back, mate?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that is boss.
Might take a little bit of editing this bit because they won't annoy us, but whatever.
Well, yeah, to be fair, we must have pumped it up because that's pretty firm, that. But yeah, Mitre Premier League ball.
Brilliant. I used to love the Mitre balls.
Yeah. Used to hit it like hell when you get hit with them in PE though.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, nostalgia though. I think that's the one thing. There's not a lot to do with present, so there's been a lot of looking back to the past and a lot of nostalgia, and I think I've got a lot more joy out of it because the present, as far as football goes, isn't always great, let's be honest. But anyway, let's go on with the show. We're actually going to look ahead to the future, like I say. We're going to start with the new stadium topic. So I'll start with Teddy this time. Who, if you had to choose, Teddy, would get a statue at the Bramley Moor?
Well, we're working on the assumption that we're not taking the ones from Goodison with us. We're going to do Bramley Moor. Right,
I'm so hoping for like a new name as opposed to maybe Dixie or the Old Trinity.
Well, I was going to say, I wasn't going to suggest Dixie because that's just, you know, standard, isn't it? Dixie team will be there, but there'll obviously be, as we've seen, sites for like a couple of statues. I personally would love to see a Neville Southall one. I think Neville Southall is just, he's one of the most iconic players in the club's history. And, you know, he was involved in the successful teams of the 80s, title wins, cup winners, cup wins. And he's just synonymous, really, with Everton. Like, you know, other players, you know, like went on to play for other teams. Like, if they were successful at Everton, they also had success elsewhere. Neville Southall is just a crystallised Everton player. He embodies the club and he embodies the sort of spirit of the supporters, because, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find an Evertonian doesn't love Neville Southall, so he'd be my first shout alongside the obvious one like Dixie Dean.
Brilliant shout that, and also I think it's worth noting that you don't often get statues of goalkeepers. It's very rare, yeah. And I think obviously we haven't got one yet, so it'll be a nice little change, and obviously who better than the most capped Everton player, let's not forget.
Yeah, true.
Of course.
What about you, Max?
Well, for me, I think we've got a pretty straightforward criteria to go by. I mean, around war times, I'd probably say you've got your T.G. Jones, I'm trying to think, yeah, any other names to kind of stick out to me. Yeah, Ted Sager.
Tommy Lawton.
Ted Sager, another goalkeeper to add to Teddy's collection there. But I think your exclusive criteria from your 60s and your 80s. I would quite like the sort of immortalisation, if you will, of the classic image of Brian Lebone placing the FA Cup on Mike Treble-Co's head. Have you seen it after we beat Sheffield Wednesday? Yeah, after we won that 3-2. I forget the name of the other player that's doing it, but they're standing either side of Treble-Co and they've got the FA Cup on his head. I think that would be a pretty interesting...
I think it's Jimmy Gabriel, isn't it, the other fella?
Is it? Yeah, but of course, Gabriel's another one that you could definitely immortalise. Yeah, I'd say Labby is my all-time favourite Everton player. I mean, literally, like, lived down the road from me, and he just embodied Everton as far as I'm concerned, and just the ultimate definition of a captain. So I'd definitely like to see Labby immortalised, and then you sort of flash forward to your 80s. You know, you can take your pick, really, can't you? And I mean, the squad to win our first ever European honour. Southall is probably, you know, the pick of the bunch, but Ratcliffe, Mountfield, you know, when you look at the attacking options, Gray, Sharp. I mean, you're a bit lost for choice, but I think statues are the weird one. I personally don't think we'll see any further additions unless something sort of really comes up in a couple of years. Because, I mean, obviously, I think the standout example of it is Fulham's owner, Shaq Khan, with his tribute to Michael Jackson, and I don't think we're going to be doing anything like that anytime soon. But, you know,
we have Jerry Sherman.
I don't know, mate, but we'll see. Just need to get the bloody ground built first, eh?
Last year, I think.
This year, he'll have a statue of Jim White.
What, with his mobile in his hand?
Yeah, definitely. The yellow tie.
What, the whole statue's bronze except the tie, which is like bright yellow?
Yeah, they'll gold plate the tie.
Belter.
Go ahead, James, how about you?
For me, it's a really difficult one. As I said, Neville Southall at first myself, to be honest with you. But if it was actually hard-pressed, I'd probably go with, and I know that this one will probably raise a few more eyebrows, but I'd probably go with, I know a lot of people try and say maybe he isn't a legend, but I'd go with Duncan Ferguson myself. Specifically for me growing up, and also I think the fact that I think that should, that's only been hammered home by how well he did in his caretaker manager spell a few months ago as well. I think just the sort of impact that he's had on the club, and particularly in a sort of dark time as well, where there wasn't much else to shout about. He was probably the sole reason that the sort of fans stuck together and got through that time.
Well, Dunk's, for me, like, he's definitely the most recent, like, you know, consideration, or, you know, you could feasibly say, you know, him, because there's been popular players, but Duncan Ferguson, you know, was part of the last, currently the last team to win a trophy for the club. So he's definitely, you know, he's you know, there's images of him with a trophy that you can build a statue out of, you know, that kind of thing.
The one with the blue nose, like, behind me. There he is.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have won a Ferguson just because there's other candidates, you know, who would be ahead of him. Mm. I'd left this one. I felt was a really obvious one. I left it because I didn't want to hoover up all the obvious choices in my first answer. But Howard Kendall.
Oh, of course.
The great man. Like,
I was gonna say, have we ever sort of had anything for a tribute towards him?
Yeah,
we've got the Holy Trinity statue with the three of them, haven't we?
The Gladys Street as well as the Howard Kendall. Gladys Street, isn't it? But I'd like to see, you know, if we were looking at, if I was going through Everton, you know, names for statues, I think Dixie Dean obviously is number one. You've got the Holy Trinity, because that includes Ball and Harvey as well. But I think Howard Kendall as a manager, even though we had like a couple of spells and like the later ones weren't as successful, just that era in the 80s when he really re-established Everton as one of the top clubs in the country. I think Howard Kendall is probably, you know, if you were taking bets, I think he'd be the odds-on favourite to be the next one after the two that are already done. Him as a manager rather than him as part of the Holy Trinity.
I could most definitely see a stand named in his honour again, really, because it wasn't for very long that we had the, as you say, the Howard Kendall Gladys Street and the Sir Philip Carter Parkland. So
yeah, maybe it'll be something like, if it's not a statue, it might be just a Howard Kendall Riverside stands or something like that, or you know, North Stand, South. You know, this, don't think the South Stand would be named that because it's going to be the big one, but they might have a Howard Kendall, like, you know, main stand or something like that. Anyway,
definitely,
I think it's definitely a good shout. I mean, do you reckon the two current statues will move to Bramley Moor, or will they be kept as part of the legacy plans? Do you think?
It's been debated, hasn't it? I've seen it's inspired quite a bit of conversation online, on like Twitter and that. Some people saying that they don't think it will, some people saying that they think it will. Like, I don't know, obviously, with the sort of contingency plans for Goodison Park and the whole sort of renovations and legacy project that they plan to leave there, it would seem a bit odd to just leave those two bronze statues slap bang in the middle of like apartment buildings and a park. But so you would like to see it taken down.
I do know that they converted Highbury into like a block of luxury flats, and I'm sure they kept a statue or something or other in the middle of the courtyard in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little tribute. Like, I know that they're planning on leaving like the centre circle of Goodison, aren't they? And
little things like that. Highbury.
So, I mean, who knows?
I think they put the statue that I'm on about to Highbury, I think they put that where the centre circle used to be. In that courtyard, I think it was quite an interesting little touch. But whether we do the same, I know I've saw like artist impressions of what they're going to do after Goodison's knocked down, and it's a little bit more asymmetric, let's say, to what Arsenal did with Highbury. So maybe it's not possible to do exactly what they did, but I'd like to see one of the statues left there as part of that legacy, and obviously all the other sort of like blue base and stuff like that will stay where it is, no doubt. So
yeah.
I think. Well, they've definitely got a good idea in place for the preserving the legacy of Goodison. But obviously the statue idea at Bramley Moor, I think there's going to be a bit more space to maybe put a few statues. But is it one of them? Is it important not to sort of wear out the value of the statues by putting loads of them in?
Great point. That's a really good point. Yeah. As I say, they're quite a novelty in football in particular. I don't think we should abuse it at all.
To be honest, I actually feel the opposite. I don't feel like it's wearing it out personally. For me, it's like, we're Everton. We've got loads of top, you know, legendary players. Like, I'm not saying you have a statue for all of them. There'll be some who, you know, could feel hard done by. But I definitely think, you know, there's room for three maybe even four statues on the site, as long as they're appropriately placed. But you're going to have to be really like elite with who you pick. You know, like, as we say, Ferguson, great player, beloved by most Evertonians. I could feel comfortable saying, but I wouldn't go so far as to give him a statue. But Dixie Dean, the Holy Trinity, you know, Howard Kendall, Neville Southall, I think a four like that, but there's definitely room to have all of them. And just on the previous point, I'd like to see the two statues we've already got left there as part of like the heritage site there, and maybe you could convert them, move them slightly, whatever. But the ones who are featured in those statues, definitely, you know, make new ones of them. You couldn't possibly have an Everton Stadium without having Dixie Dean as the primary, you know. If you've got three or four statues, the number one's still got to be Dixie Dean. I just, you know, just make a new one so it's in keeping with the rest, you know, that kind of thing.
Definitely, but I do agree with you as well about leaving the statues at Goodison. I think that's the best thing as well. I think, obviously, the likes of Dixie and the Holy Trinity made the mark at Goodison, and the legacy should stay there as well, even if it comes with us to the Bramley Moor.
Yeah. Where are we going to put the one of Sergio Ramos?
Oh, yeah, we've got a few of them out there, haven't we?
Oh, no, he's getting the stand name. He's the big South stand named after him, hasn't he? That's right.
One of Pippo Inzaghi from 2007. What else?
Demba Ba.
I forget about Demba Ba.
Really, I think that is exhausting the statues. Then if we have one for every time, players give us a good afternoon like that.
Yeah, there's been some fond memories there as well. I mean, sure you can find a place for them somewhere else, even if it's in the dock next door. keep them in like a little storage container and wheel them out whenever there's a derby, just to wind them up.
Buy Nelson's dock and fill it with statues like that.
Yeah, no, just wheel them all out on a derby day just to annoy the fans when they walk in.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely, but there you have it. A couple of mixed views, but I think we can agree with, like, it's a case of not over-exhausting the statue idea, but I think, to be fair, you guys both came up with much better shouts than I did. I think Neville Southall is probably would have been my prime choice as well. And Max, your shout as well, Brian LeBone, and the cup winners from 66. That's another brilliant shout, I think.
Yeah.
I think I was probably a bit clutching at straws with Big Dunk, to be honest with you, when you compare them to what those players achieved. And I think Brian LeBone actually is probably the most criminally underrated when it comes to the sort of iconic status, I think, because everyone said, didn't they, when all the ex-captains said, if they all got together, that they'd want LeBone to captain the captains. And I think that's says everything you need to know about Brian LeBone. And obviously the Everton quote, the Everton with 20 Liverpoolians quote, is only going to add to the legacy that he left as well.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's a brilliant little discussion though, and it's certainly one that was worth keeping an eye on, I think, as we move closer to moving into the new stadium. You podcast listeners, now obviously we're moving on to the second of our podcast segments. We'll be discussing the possible addition of Jack Grealish. So Max, Terry and I are once again going to be together to analyse the pros and cons of reported Everton target Jack Grealish. Grealish has of course impressed this year upon returning to the Premier League with Aston Villa, and is apparently on our radar along with the likes of Man United. So we're going to start this time with Max. What do you think Grealish would bring to Everton?
Right. The way I view this sort of this speculation, obviously Everton's just hearsay in this time when we've literally got no football. Obviously the market's not in play. So I think it's just futile sort of speculation as far as that goes. But looking at it like subjectively, I think Jack Grealish would be an absolutely fantastic fit for what we need from a creative midfielder. Now, voice your concerns if you've got any when I say this, but I genuinely feel like we've been searching for an answer for a creative midfielder since Mikel Arteta left the club. Now, I think Ross Barkley, for the years that he did spend at Everton, didn't crystallise his potential completely. I think he jumped ship too early, and we've seen by his continued inconsistencies at Chelsea. I feel personally that once Barkley had left, the ideal sort of replacement would be, now I'm going way out of our price range and what we can attract here, but a player similar to that of an Isco or a David Silva, someone who's relatively small, low centre of gravity, that can deal with the ball to his feet, can take the ball with his back to goal, turn, play, make play, bring other people in, have a crack if need be. And then this sort of obviously inspires the Gylfi Sigurdsson debate all over again, which I don't want to exactly tire myself out with, because I think we've all kind of tortured ourselves to death at what we think of Gylfi Sigurdsson at the moment. I don't mean to say that I berate him. I do think that Gylfi Sigurdsson is a really good player, as proved by the fact that, along with Richarlison, not this season, but the season gone, he was our highest goal scorer in all competitions. So I do think Gylfi Sigurdsson's a cracking player, but at the same time, I don't think he's the answer to our problems. I do think someone like a Jack Grealish, who I think is only 5'7", got something like 9 goals this season in all competitions and 7 assists. I just think that speaks for itself. I know he's got a few cons, which I'm sure you lads will make notes of, but I think he'd be great.
Terry?
Well, I sort of think two things about this. I think I've got certain thoughts on the link, the transfer link, and certain thoughts on the player. So I'll just go with my thoughts on the transfer link, really. I don't think it's true, for a start. If it is true, it's unrealistic, because there's a lot of problems with it. You know, his price would be astronomical. I don't think Everton will be looking to buy, you know, I don't think anyone really will be looking to buy Premier League to Premier League going forward, you know, with the uncertain finances at the minute. And even before that, I think he would have been a price prohibitive player. Also, this is, you know, it's not going to be happy to admit, but, you know, I don't think we can attract him, because he's at Aston Villa, he's at his boyhood club, and his next move, now that he's sort of coming into the, you know, the peak of his value, if nothing else, his next move is going to be his big move. And, you know, going from Aston Villa to Everton, yeah, in league terms, it is an improvement, but it's not a huge jump. With both teams who are outside of the European places, I think he's good enough to attract, you know, a Champions League team like a Liverpool or a Spurs or someone like that. Because, let's be honest, and this is where it comes into my thoughts on the player, he is class. I think he's a quality player. Where he'd fit in our team is a bit, you know, questionable. Not in the sense of he wouldn't get in our team, of course he would. But a few other people have touched on it as well, but he'd probably be most suited into that left of the midfield four position, that sort of half left, half 10, that he's got Iwobi and Bernard playing in, with Dean on the outside. I couldn't see him being one of the two central midfielders in a flat 4-4-2, which is what we play. It'd be too restrictive for him, and to give him the freedom, the only creatively free position in our team is that left midfielder who cuts inside. And is that a position that we really need to invest in when there's so many other positions in the team that require attention? You know, right back, centre back, right midfield, possibly even goalkeeper. I just, even if there's truth to this link, I just think it's a strange one. I just, you know, it's looking to buy a quality player. Don't get me wrong, if we feasibly could attract him, which I have, you know, huge doubts about, but it'd be a lot of money spent on a position where we've got two players in, and there's other positions that need sorting out first. So I'm dubious over it, but would I love it? Yeah, I would. I think he's quality. I think he's an absolutely immense player. This season he's come on loads, and if he hadn't have, you know, if the current situation with the coronavirus hadn't, you know, derailed football, I think he'd have been in the England squad to sort of, you know, put a little bow on his form this season.
Yeah, I'm sorry to just butt in, but I forget the source. Again, paper talk, but wasn't there a rumoured price that was around £70 million?
Yeah, there was.
So, financial fair play, boys. You know what I mean? Again, just speculation.
I think that's astronomical money, to be honest. I don't think it's feasible in any way, shape or form. And to be honest, you guys have had a lot of good things to say, but if I'm going to say my piece, I'm a bit more sceptical about him, to be honest with you, for a number of reasons. first and foremost, I'm always cautious about prizing players away from the boyhood clubs. And there's a kind of a reason to that. I know there was obviously the exceptions with players like Rooney, who are top, top quality, who go to the likes of Man United and win, but we're not in a position to, like you say, take players like that or take players who are looking for the big step up. And I'm always concerned about when we sign players from the boyhood clubs, you know, the likes of, I always worry about like another Ashley Williams, like where is he given like 110% for these clubs, but will he give that for us? Would he give the same to Everton that he'd give to Aston Villa? I don't think he would. And in addition to that, obviously there's the whole tactical side of things, like you say. I don't think we'd be able to find a place in our system for them on top of what we've already got. And there's, like you say, there's so much other places that we need in that squad that we need to bolster in the summer, but it could be bloody November by the time the next transfer window, I don't know. But, and then on top of that, of course, there's the issues about his attitude. Of course, we saw him breaking the lockdown as well. A little bit sceptical about players like that. I mean, we gave Nias all kinds of hell for it, and rightly so, by the way. But Grealish did more or less the same thing. So what would we say if Grealish were an Everton player and he did that? I know Nias is pretty much public enemy number one, but something tells me we wouldn't be much more sympathetic with Grealish.
I don't know, just to counteract what you said about would he give us all, and I know circumstances being boyhood club, sort of adored by the fans, and you know, but he's captain. And when you watch Aston Villa, Jack Grealish is always the spearhead of any sort of attack and play that they have. He takes responsibility. He always looks to influence play. And I think that feeds into my point. He's the type of player that we've needed for so long. That sort of creative spark that's willing to take responsibility. So I can understand your trepidation as to whether, okay, would he give the same, would he give 100% playing for Everton as he would playing for Aston Villa? I wouldn't want to question his credibility as a professional footballer. I do think he would, but at the same time, and again, this is like Terry's point, like we are in no situation to be looking at like the top talent in the country and be saying, go on, we'll have you, because A, coronavirus, B, financial fair play, and C, like we're just, as Terry rightly said, we've got nothing to offer these players.
I mean, if it's a different question. If Villa were to go down, say the games are completed and the season's finished and what have you, and Villa go down, then obviously then it's a different matter. You know, its price comes down, not to a cheap degree, but it comes down to a little bit, you know, less eye watering than 70, I'm sure. But if his price comes down, then it sounds like I'm putting the club down, but I'm not, to say bigger, more attractive offers will come in for him if his price goes down. So I just don't think we're, you know, a big enough law away from Aston Villa for him, because he will have teams in the Champions League coming in for him. And, you know, they say, you know, the Birmingham Mail, I think, said that Man United aren't interested in him anymore. I don't know whether I believe that. I think they still would be interested, and even if it's not them, and I know they're not, you know, regularly in the Champions League or what, but they're still Man United. And I honestly could see him going to a Liverpool. I think he'd suit them down to the ground on the left side of their middle three, and that's the type of offer I think he'll probably get going forward. So it'd be a coup for Everton to get him, but I think for the money he'd cost in any scenario, even if we could somehow get him away from Aston Villa to Everton, I think we'd be better served putting our money elsewhere abroad and finding players who
precisely
on the radar. Yeah, I'd like to see more Luka Deans and
yeah,
players like that who you don't really, you know, quality players who can come in and improve the team straight away, but don't cost the earth. I think that's the future of that. That's where our money's best placed.
I think that's precisely my point as well, because I think what I was most cautious about, obviously I reeled off all these negatives about Grealish, but what I'm most scared about is if we did get him, we'd have to pay top dollar for him, and I don't want us getting our fingers burned like we did this with Gylfi Sigurdsson, bringing the star player from a lower Premier League team and bringing him into our squad, and he just hasn't cut the mustard for what we paid for him. And I don't care what you say, how good Grealish is, I don't think if we paid 70 million, he'd never repay that.
No, you know what he'd be? He'd be like a midfield Pickford. Like, you'd take him away from his boy club. And all right, Pickford didn't cost as much as, like, he was, you know, his strap line said he did. You know, he was actually close to the 20 million, 30 apparently. But, you know, he's got all the hallmarks as well. You know, like, he's still, you know, Pickford still loves Sunderland. Pickford gets himself in trouble on nights out. Clearly, Grealish is doing that as well. I think it would be signing up for a midfield version of Pickford. Now, some people might go, well, I'm up for that if it's the first season, Pickford. If he performs well, then I don't care what his attitude's like. But some you know, people would be a little bit like, you know, it could easily go badly wrong with a player like that because you don't feel like he's committed enough. Grealish gets in the England squad and say, you know, he's an Everton player. Will he be like Pickford? And if that's his prime motivation, and will the fans turn a little bit sour on him with bad performances because they don't feel like his heart's in it? There's all these things that could crop
up. I'll be honest, I would be one of those. I'm very angry when I see players not working hard enough. I think Gylfi Sigurdsson's a prime example of that. And Schneiderlin. And it's the same. I think it'd be the same with Grealish, bringing in an established Premier League player for a big fee. And I think it's a player who there's still question marks about his work rate, to be honest with you. I don't think he's obviously a very gifted player who adds more technical ability to what we've already got, definitely, but I just think he could easily become a pariah with our fans. You know the way our fans are and how much commitment matters to our fans. If he doesn't pull his weight, then he could be in for a rotten spell, and given that we would have parted with a lot of money to bring him in, he could become one of our many flop signings that other clubs laugh at us after now for.
Not going to sign him anyway, so it's all right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good little way to sign off then, isn't it? We're not going to get him. We've done this whole show. We've just been discussing the player. We're definitely not going to get. So there you have it. Jack Grealish isn't coming to Everton, guys. But for you podcast listeners, of course, it's time for the If You Know Your History quiz. Tonight, it's Max versus Terry. And once again, it's a matchday squad quiz. For those who haven't tuned in before, that basically entails me naming an Everton fixture from the past and our two contestants taking it in turns to reel off the members of that squad, be it a starter or a youth substitute who took part in the game. First to get an answer wrong forfeits, and the other is our winner. So first things first, going to decide who goes first. Unfortunately, once again, I haven't really come prepared, so I'm going to have to find something that I can flip. And here we go, pen little do. Right, so I'll let Teddy pick this time. I think I let Max pick last week, didn't I?
How are you going to flip a pen lid?
Oh, it's many alternatives to this show, mate.
It's a flat pen lid. It's like a cylindrical one as opposed to a like big one.
Fair enough.
I mean, this is what you've got to do in these times of need when you don't come prepared with your 10p piece. So, Teddy, heads or tails? Oh, by the way, but what I mean is the top. Oh, yeah, I've just realised this isn't going to work.
I didn't think it would.
No,
I've got a penny here. Go on.
Oh yeah, go on. Hang on. How's that going to work? Oh yeah, Teddy, you're going to have to. Oh yeah, go on then.
Yeah, Ted.
All right, Teddy gets to choose. Going first or going second, mate?
I'll go second, please.
Oh, there we go. Glad we decided that. Now that's all sorted. I'm going to reveal the fixture in question. So cue the intense quiz music. There it is. And I reckon tonight's lineup challenge is going to be a very tough challenge for you two indeed. The fixture in question is Brisbane Roar 1, Everton 2, the Roar Against Racism Cup final from the 17th of July 2010. It was a friendly tournament, and of course, As a result, there were 4 huge substitutes in this, which means there's 15 altogether to choose from. A nice odd number, so no sudden death. Someone has to win this outright first go. So let's get down to business. I'll let Terry go first.
No, you pick second. I'm first.
Pick second. All right.
Max. Leon Osman.
Leon Osman started the game.
Phil Neville.
Phil Neville started the game and captained.
Jermaine Beckford.
Jermaine Beckford started the game. This is a strong start.
I don't really go off the game. I just go off the era of the game. So Louis Saha.
Yeah, Louis Saha started the game. Strangely enough, Moyes went with a 4-4-2 for once in this game.
Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines started the game. 5 out of 5 so far.
The star of last week, didn't he? Billy Letdown.
Indeed, he started the game as well. 6 starters in a row, brilliant stuff.
Phil Jagielka.
Phil Jagielka started the game.
Leon Osman, because he played every game around this time.
That was my first pick.
That was already Max's first pick. Pick again.
Oh, Mickey Waters.
Jack Rodwell.
Jack Rodwell started the game. This is strong stuff.
Sylvain Distan.
Sylvain Distan started the game. 9 of the starters already mentioned in the first 9.
Coleman.
Seamus Coleman was the 10th outfield starter. You've got all the outfield starters.
Going
right to the wire, this.
Victor Anichebe.
Victor Anichebe was one of the used substitutes.
Okay.
That's 11 names reeled off.
See, I know this era well. It's like me prime childhood era of Everton players. It's just trying to get them clear.
Smashing it so far, Terry.
I'm going to go for another star of the Toffee Blues last week, Magai Gay.
Magai Gay was another of the used substitutes and one of the scorers.
Have you said the goalie?
I haven't said the goalie.
Oh, Tim Howard.
No, Tim Howard was still on leave after the World Cup in 2010. That means Terry's our winner. Both just for a laugh, we've got 3 more to guess. Do you want to try and get them?
Well, if it wasn't Tim Howard, Jan Mucha.
Jan Mucha was also on leave after playing for Slovakia at the World Cup.
All right.
I said Sylvain. Carlo Nash, was it?
No, it wasn't Carlo Nash.
John Ruddy?
No, it wasn't John Ruddy.
Ian Turner?
Yep, the only one you hadn't said. It was Ian Turner was the goalkeeper.
Right, bloody hell.
2 more outfield subs to name.
Plus the loss of Velios?
Nope, no Velios.
James Vaughan?
James Vaughan was one of them. And one more.
Did we sign Velios that January? We hadn't signed him, you know.
It was the next January we signed Velios,
A bit lost on me, this. João Silva, remember him?
João Silva was an unused sub.
Okay.
Don't know. Was Pienaar still at the club?
He was, but he was on leave from South Africa after the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. It was such a depleted squad, this, and there was actually a lot of sort of left-field names, and the last one that you hadn't named, the final used sub, was Jose Baxter.
Oh, yeah.
Your next guess would have been Kieran Aghard, but I'm not even sure if he was...
He wasn't even on the bench. The unused subs were Tony Hibbert, João Silva, Lukas Jukievic, and a certain Skodran Mustafi.
I can't believe we forgot Tony the Shoe.
he was an unused sub anyway, so he wouldn't have scored for it anyway. But yeah, Jack Rodwell and Magai Gay got the two goals, and Everton won the Brisbane, was it the Roar Against Racism Cup final? And that game has never been played again since. So officially, Everton are still the holders of the Roar Against Racism Cup.
That's it. We defeated racism. It doesn't exist after that.
We stopped racism and we've actually won a trophy in the 21st century, you knew.
You remember the Everton Brotherhood Cup?
Yeah, that was the same summer as well, so we won the double last summer.
I know.
Better than the Sport Pacer Cup, innit?
Oh, definitely better than that. It doesn't get much worse than that.
The Everton Brotherhood Cup, I'd forgot all about that. Whoever lifted that trophy, he should have the statue of Bramley Moore. Who was it?
Neville, Neville and Mikel Arteta.
It was classic, that. Heady days when you win two trophies in one summer.
I'll tell you what we shouldn't have at the new stadium. A spray-painted like silhouette of Phil Jagielka's face on the wall that we've still got a Goodison
from. Beaver Moss Everton.
From a kit launch about 5 years ago that they still haven't painted over.
Also, I remember Viva Moss Everton, that's still there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so that's the end of the show. It was a closely fought contest, but Teddy is our victor, and as a result, Teddy gets to see us to the end of the show with the end of the show song. So, Teddy, if you'd like to tell us which song you want us to finish with and tell us a little bit about the song, where you want us to choose it and whatnot.
Bear with, I'm just looking through the aisles, Spotify. Oh, I think I'm going to go for Guns N' Roses, Paradise City.
Tune that, you know.
Interesting. I remember when Sir Steve O'Timothy did his little Allardyce thing and changed it to Take Me Down to Allardyce City. They were the darkest of dark days.
Well, it was anyway. I wondered it might have been like a vine, it wouldn't have been a TikTok then, but it was a vine or something like that. It was I don't even know the name of the song, but it was like
That was that Steve O'Timothy again, the Irish
King. Was that name again? That's got going. I think even I'm the foremost Allardyce painter in Everton fandom. And I've got the badge to prove it. I think I would have sang that, that would have just been amazing.
Oh, wow. No, I imagine the scenes of Allardyce actually did well with Everton.
Oh, I know. He had like a sweet spot, didn't he? Like when he moved
in December, like he went unbeaten, didn't he?
Yeah, and he was, people were liking him because, his attitude was cutting a bit of mustard at first because we'd been losing so regularly. It was just nice to start winning. Then he batted Liverpool out of the game and he just laughed in the press conference and was like, oh, this fella's great. Maybe I was wrong about it.
I think that was when Steve O'Timothy did his Allardyce song. Was after that derby, it was brilliant.
I've always there's a plenty of songs that I've heard like one person sing and I'd love them to have caught on. I was sitting at the match once and someone went, "I see you, baby, Umanias."
That one, yeah.
I would have loved to
It's when you think what could we come up with any more brilliant songs from rubbish players, and I just remember someone did a. Highest Chiefs, didn't he? Andy van der Meijden. Andy van der Meijden. And just think, how many more songs should we come up with for rubbish players? Imagine if someone come up with an Alcaraz song.
Not a rubbish player, but like there's some colourful songs, isn't there? Like the Eddie Mina one, which even got mentioned in Marco Silva's press conference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something only those Everton fans could manage, that, isn't it? But there you have it, that's the end of the show. Kerry's made sure that we're going to finish with Guns N' Roses, Paradise City. Thank you for tuning in on the Toffee Blues.